Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What's it like to hang 60 stories high with your legs dangling with nothing but a harness strapped around your waist and hips? How does it feel? You're holding a giant squeegee in your hand because you're there to clean the windows. It's a hair-raising job. Not many people want to do it. But because of the exclusivity of the work, due to the danger and, of course, the constitution required, it's a profitable business. Our guest today knows from decades of experience what this is like. He also knows what it takes to grow a business that has become number one in the industry here in the islands. He's here to share what his relationship with Jesus has meant to him. In this feature, we're calling Hanging High by God's Grace. We pause here at the beginning of our show just to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio program is to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. If you're listening today and you don't know the Lord, you may have heard about Him, you may be interested in Him, you may be at a place in your life where you're seemingly spiraling out of control, out of self-control, out of control of your circumstances and the situation surrounding you. And you're looking for answers. You're looking for someone who can be there to lift you up, to make a difference, to turn your sad yesterdays into a glimmering, hopeful tomorrow. The answer is in the person of Jesus Christ. He who died on the cross for your sins, mine, my guests. He shed His blood on the cross. He was buried. And 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. The living Christ calls you to Himself today with His everlasting arms of love reaching out to you. Can you hear Him? Would you open your heart to Him today, this moment? And my dear friend, if you are already walking with the Lord, well, we're here to build you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you. I believe that through the story of my guest, you will be inspired, renewed. Dino Pertzoff was born in Boston, Massachusetts. He grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. He transferred from the University of Delaware to the University of Hawaii on a bet. And while at the University of Hawaii, he began cleaning high-rise windows for a living. Years later, he went into business as Dino's Window Cleaning and later merged with another small firm to start Worldwide Window Cleaning. Within 2 years, it became the largest window cleaning company in Hawaii. He met his wife and became a follower of Jesus Christ, and they married in 1999. He says his 38 minutes of fame occurred in 2009 when he was featured on the TV show Dirty Jobs. Many opportunities have arisen from that moment of fame, which has stretched out into many opportunities, including the shooting of their own reality TV show called The Drop, capturing the day-to-day drama of high-rise window cleaning in Hawaii. He's on the board of directors at Calvary Chapel Komomai and also Family Ministries Center. He's working with Dr. Hale Akamini with Family Ministries Center on a TV show that they're calling Akamai style. Dino, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's an honor.
Well, we talked early on about Boston, Massachusetts, and Wilmington, Delaware. But tell us more. What was it like growing up on the East Coast?
Boy, growing up, like so many other people, my mother and father divorced at age 4. Hmm. I mean, I was 4.
Yeah.
Anyway, I grew up without a father in the household. And it wasn't until years later where I really understood the impact that that had on my life. Went through one failed marriage. Never really understood what a real man was until I was in my mid-30s. So I spent years and years and years following the way of the world, not even knowing it. And growing up on the East Coast, I mean, I had both lives. I had on one side, on my father's side, who I rarely saw, but I did see my grandmother, and they were well-to-do, very well-to-do. So I spent summers there. Maybe I spent a week in the winter there, but most of the time I was with my mother trying to raise a family of two on her own, struggling. And so I knew both sides of the story. And obviously then I really enjoyed going up into New England and living the good life. I look forward to that, and I still do. It's hard. Yeah. But I guess I learned a lot of lessons from those times of struggle and trial with my mother and my sister.
We talk about Boston. I mean, recently with the bombings. Any word from family on any of the repercussions or how it's impacted them there?
You know, not really yet. I'm getting ready to travel to the East Coast in a month here, and I'll hear most. I still have a lot of family there. The extended family is huge. But the ones I'm in contact with, most of them have moved northward to Maine. Mm-hmm. So I'll find out when I'm there.
Yeah. You know, people grow up wherever they grow up and wherever they end up. They always look back and they remember their favorite food from the place that they were when they were kids. Any favorite foods from Boston that you remember enjoying eating?
Oh, absolutely. See, now when I moved away from Boston when I was very young, maybe second grade, but we traveled there and up to Maine. So bar none, lobster.
Really?
We would go up to this island off the tip of Maine that my grandmother's grandfather purchased in 1806, and we would eat lobster. It seemed like it was every night. I can't do that anymore. It's maybe every third night when I go up there, but that was bar none. And then I came to Hawaii years later, and now it's a toss-up, sushi or lobster, either one.
Okay, either one. Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Boy, that's funny. That's a great question. I think maybe my grandfather on my mother's side, he was my father figure, and he was the one that kept me from, I had some very dark years in my late 20s, and most of my friends were experiencing that in their teens, and I think it was he that kept me during my teens somewhat straight. So I would say it was him in my early life, although there was no Christianity spoken in my household. My first memories in life were standing in a Russian Orthodox church at 4 years old in a dress, listening to a guy chant in Russian, and he was wearing a dress and a big hat, and I had no idea what was going on. So it was many years before I darkened the steps of a church again.
You mentioned some dark years in your late 20s. Take us back to that. I mean, it certainly is a contrast, you know, because of who you are today, what you're doing today. I mean, the clarity in your eyes and your ability to communicate and process life. What was it like?
Well, my wife always says I'm all or nothing. It infuriates her. And when I really set my mind to something, I can do it pretty well. And it seems as though I can do really bad things well also. Mm. And that's where it led me. A lot of people have this big debate going about Pucalolo. Is it a gateway drug? And I used to always laugh at that. Yeah, right. I smoked for years. But sure enough, at one point, and it was during the big years of the Green Harvest, where they're making it really hard to get marijuana. And all of a sudden, crystal meth came on the scene. And it had no odor. And, it wasn't cheap. It sure lasted a lot longer. And I had this a Filipino friend of mine hand me a pipe and say, you know, no can go wrong. And of course, 5 years later, we were both wrong in treatment. mm-hmm. But maybe 3 or 4 years of that and watching some horrific things happen, being held at gunpoint and arrested and all kinds of things I remember one time sitting at this drug house and all of a sudden I had a double barrel shotgun out at my head and I turned around and there was Jason with a hockey mask on, you know, pointing a gun at my head. And these are all things I look back on. And I mean, I got arrested and let me go. I didn't have anything on me, but just things that were kind of slowly pointing me towards Christ. And I know now that he speaks in a still quiet voice. And he was doing that for years and years with me. And if you don't hear that, he speaks a little bit louder. Mm-hmm. And then he speaks a little bit louder, and then all of a sudden he grabs a baseball bat and he clobbers you over the head. And that happened in those years after watching a friend of mine get shot in the neck and over a bad drug deal. I was a witness in an attempted murder trial. He's paralyzed for life. And I finally just said, enough.
You know, do you feel like... You know, those years of your life that you almost blinked them away as you look back, did they all just kind of blend together? I'm trying to get a sense of the passing of time in that season of life.
I have these different chapters in my life, and one was the young carefree days with my parents, with my grandparents, and that changed into years at college here in Hawaii were carefree. I mean, all I cared about was surfing and smoking pot. And they were somewhat carefree also. And then, like C.S. Lewis says, that hell is a gradual slope. And that's how he gets us. You don't just jump off into hell. It's a gradual slope. And it slowly started to get darker and darker and darker. And I don't know if anybody really wants to know the closest I can ever explain what hell would be like. If you're smoking cocaine for 3 days and you finally have no more money and there's no more cocaine and you're lying on your bed and you're staring at the ceiling and you're saying to yourself, what have I done? And I still get chicken skin thinking about those days. And any time, which I rarely do, I mean, I go through all kinds of trials. My life is pretty stressful. But that's all relative. Mm-hmm. Day-to-day business. I had very little stress in the dark days. All I had to worry about is where I'm going to get the drugs. That is the definition of despair. And if I could imagine what hell would be like, it would be very similar to that feeling.
We're talking to Dino Pertzoff. He's the owner of Worldwide Window Cleaning. He's talking about a season of life, years in his late 20s, when he was in despair. We talk about seasons of life. What season of life are you in? If you're in a season where you're hitting some bumps along the way, or maybe feel like you're in a season where you're falling off a precipice, or you're maybe on the very edge of tipping over. He's here not only to spend time on the dark season, but to show what difference Christ has made in filling his heart with the light of love, the light of hope, and the light of purpose, which came through Christ. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, you're going to hear more from him. I mean, we're just getting started. The glorious message of good news in Jesus Christ. Dino Pertzoff will share that with you. Think about this. think about this. Right now, in your situation, whatever it might be, it might not even be that bad. You might have had worse. But right now, in your moment, the Lord Jesus Christ can work in you by the power of His Holy Spirit that will lift your heart up with hope, new ideas, new opportunities at this moment. So stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
On a dark, howling winter night, 18-year-old Danny Yamashiro fell headfirst 400 feet from historic Poly Ridge. Massive head injuries, crushed organs, and a shattered ankle changed his life, becoming a radio host, pastor, author, and worldwide evangelist. In his book, Paradise Calls, Danny recounts his personal journey and how God turned debilitating depression, isolation, and failure into a calling that reaches hundreds of thousands.
New York Times bestselling author Stephen Mansfield writes, Danny Yamashiro's story reveals the power of this call, so vibrantly that we are all infused with passion to take hold of our eternal purpose.
Get this riveting story as a free ebook today at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Johnny Erickson Tata says Danny Yamashiro has turned every challenge into a cherished opportunity to point people to Jesus.
Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and download Paradise Calls free today. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, the despair. I mean, let's say you're just on your back. You're on your back. You 3 days, you're on crystal meth and you're... But then you run out, and then you look up at the ceiling, and you're thinking, okay, what next? What am I going to do? You've never felt that low before because of the senselessness of life. And you realize that you are in your darkest days. I mean, it has never been so bad. But then, at that moment, in darkness, someone comes pounding on the door. Someone comes running down the hall, and you realize this person is vigorously looking for you in your dark moment. And his name is Jesus Christ. Isn't that what you love about him? My gosh, that's what I love about him, is that he came to me not when I was up and running, when all things were well, but when things were bad and sad and broken and hard. And Christ calls out to you vigorously looking for you. He's done it for our guest. His name is Dino Pertzoff. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm so glad you're with us. To find out more about this program, you might be tuning in right now. You want to get the show in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can get the podcast for free, that and other resources. But let's take some time and let's listen to this story of my friend Dino Pertzoff. Dino, how did you come to know Christ in the midst of this darkness?
Wow. I think there's got to be other people like me. It wasn't some amazing revelation. I have friends that got saved, and they said they were just looking up at the sky, and they asked God for a sign, and immediately they looked over and saw a cross or something, you know. And those are great. Those are great stories. I love them. And sometimes I felt like, wow, how come I didn't have one of those?
How come I didn't see the cross?
It was about changed lives. And in my deepest moments of despair, I just decided, and this is before I knew Christ, but I knew he was, I didn't know at the time, but now looking back, I know he was with me the whole time. And C.S. Lewis said that what saves a man is to take a step and then another step. And I guess in retrospect, that's what I started to do. And as I came out of those dark days, the woman that I'd been with for 12 years and then finally gotten married to, she put up with all that. And then I put the drugs behind me. Well, she couldn't handle that. And what happened was, is you take drugs away and then all of a sudden you have time and money. And I've swept my house clean and 7 more demons moved in because then I realized materialism and women. And the marriage ended quickly after that. I met a girl through a window cleaning friend of mine, and she was very young, and we lived together for 3 years, and we had been talking about marriage. We were on that, you know, 5-year engagement program, and she had grown up in the faith, but she was not walking in the faith. We were living together, and she finally came to me and said, "We can't live like this anymore," and I think I went for some pre-marriage counseling, and I had this pastor, I still remember him, I haven't seen him in years, Pastor William Cunningham, and he sat me down, and he was interviewing me, and he asked me what I do and where I live, and I said, "Oh, I live right across the street from the church here," and it was downtown, the Calvary Chapel, and 1212 Nuano. Did the same with my wife, and blah, 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 and, "Oh, 1212 Nuano," he goes. And at this point, I had already accepted the Lord in my life, very brand new Christian. And he said, "You got 3 choices." He says, "Move out, court each other properly, then get married. The second is, get $50, go down to this address, get yourself a license, come back, I'll marry you. And the third is, stop calling yourself a Christian." And that just blew my mind. And I'm thinking, let me see, number one, No. Number two, no, that's no good either. Number three, that's no good either. Number two, that was a Tuesday. Went down and got a license. He married us on a Thursday. And it was just, to this day, one of the best decisions I ever made. I could just feel the Spirit of God come bless a relationship that was good at times, but contentious and argumentative. And it had the same flaws, fatal flaws that you see in so many other relationships that end in years and years of agony and then divorce. So that was 13 years ago, and got saved in 99, got married. And again, it wasn't a revelation that I had. I started looking around. I met this girl and I said, I am not going to mess this one up. I want to know how to do it right. So I started looking around for examples. And I found a couple. They had 5 kids. Wonderful couple. Great guy. I can do that. I want to be like that. I started copying him. So it wasn't that somebody came to me and said, "You're going to burn in hell." I was like, for some reason, that had no effect on me whatsoever. It wasn't about living for eternity at the right hand of the king. I still didn't really know who the king was. But it was, I seen people and I seen families and I seen them work. And I said, I want that. And it's been a very slow, gradual road, and it's getting more exciting every day.
When you talk about the process, when have you grown the most as a follower of Christ?
Boy, I mean, this may sound cliche, but of course it's at the times when I'm lying flat on my back, and you know, I remember one time being 6,000 miles away and sitting there on a dock ready to spend a couple weeks on an island, and you get a call from the bank And they say, there's not enough money for payroll. What do you want me to do? And you get this feeling in your stomach just starts tying in knots. And you're just going, oh, no, Lord. And that puts you deep into prayer. And this happens, you know, whether it's money in the bank for payroll or it's the IRS. Things are complicated. And every step of the way, God's got a challenge for me. And I know that's going to continue. And again, I said, my walk has been this kind of gradual. I never just caught fire in the beginning.
You know, when you say that, virtually every business owner, small, medium, you know, larger size, virtually every business owner, that resonated with them.
Oh.
You know?
It makes my stomach twist just thinking about it now.
And yet, someone that might not own a business understands what it's like to have barely enough, or, you know, not enough when it comes to when you look at your statement or when you check your balance and you're thinking, how are we going to make it? So, like you said earlier, certain things are relative. How did the Lord work things out for you? Let's say in that particular situation, you're 6,000 miles away. What have you seen the Lord do when you were driven to prayer?
It's amazing to watch him work, and I've always been able to see him so clearly looking backwards in the way he works, and I'm starting to get better to see him working right now. But it's the being in that despair. And when I got that despair, I recognized that same feeling that I had years before, lying flat on my back, staring at the ceiling. And it drove me to prayer this time. And back then I wasn't safe, so it didn't drive me to prayer. And I took one step after another, and he led me out of that. But this drove me into prayer. It drove me into reading. It drove me into fellowship. It drove me into all the things that you need to really know him. And again, needless to say, after standing on that dock, when that boat picked me up and I ended up on that island, I spent a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in reading. Mm. And the business that I run, and a lot of people might be able to relate to this just in their day-to-day lives, whether they own a business or not. I don't know if you know the mathematics of a bumblebee or a helicopter.
Share it.
It's not supposed to work. Get your calculator out and do the numbers. It doesn't work. And I look at the bills on the desk and the problems with employees and the drama of day-to-day working this business and pull out the calculator and tap, tap, tap. This is not supposed to work. But it has. And it always has. And that doesn't mean that the Lord has another plan for me in the future, and he may take all this away from me and say, you know, I need you here. It really blew my mind when I heard that story of that couple in the newspaper, been homeless for 25 years. And he said, God wanted them to be homeless because that's how he's reaching. That may be in my future. Who knows? But I just know, just without a doubt, that the math doesn't work out. And so there's no other reason this is working except for him.
Somebody right now is in a moment of crisis, and this is a reminder to pray. So, Dino, sometimes we wait till the end and we pray, but maybe this is the moment. Could you pray for someone right now? They're driving. They might need to pull over on the side of the road and pause because of the turmoil that's going on, but this is a divine moment. They could be at their office and just close their eyes for a while, or gosh, pray with your eyes open, or however you do it. But this is a moment where the Lord's in somehow way that as we pray and we engage with you with whatever burden you're carrying, we're going to stand with you in prayer, hold hands with you, you know, figuratively, and just pray for God to work and move and lift you up during this time. Dino, could you pray?
Yes. Father God, Lord, we come before you humble and broken. Life is confusing. It's complicated. And when you're trying to do the math, it doesn't work. But Lord, we know that your calculator is perfect. and your math works. We don't know how it works. Your ways are not our ways, far beyond our ways. Your plans are not our plans. And Lord, I just pray for anybody out there right now that is feeling that despair, whether they've been lying on their back 3 days and staring at the ceiling, or whether there's not enough money to pay payroll or not enough money to pay the bills. Maybe you're in a relationship that's broken and seems hopeless. Lord, none of these things are possible by the world's ways. It's just a long, winding cycle downwards. It's nothing but despair. But Lord, we know that you change lives and you hang out at the end of ropes. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would just reach and send your spirit to these people that are at the end of their ropes, Lord. I just pray no matter what circumstances they had, there's nothing that you can't fix, that you can't hit, that you can't heal. Lord, I just pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dino. We say, when we say amen, so be it, Lord. So be it. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, you talk about certain breakthrough moments. How about getting a call about an opportunity to be on a network television program that's going to feature your business? Something that you didn't expect, something that comes as a surprise. You know, God has surprises too. I mean, he doesn't show us his hand on everything. But sometimes he'll kiss someone. And he's certainly done that with Dino. We'll hear more about his dirty jobs when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You know, I like watching the Discovery Channel. There are certain channels that I like because it is very enriching, and then it sort of takes you into the world of the lives of people that you might not even know, but it gives you a glimpse, or maybe more than a glimpse. Well, our guest today, his name is Dino Pertzoff. If you're tuning in right now, Dino is the owner of Worldwide Window Cleaners. In fact, to find out more about him and to if you want to connect with him in some way, worldwidewindows.net. That's worldwidewindows.net. But Dino and his company, they were invited to be a special on the Discovery Channel program called Dirty Jobs. And I want to hear more about that. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. To get this podcast, maybe you know of somebody who you just think, gosh, they need to hear what Dino shared. You can get it for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dino, so you get called, contracted, or whatever the process is. In fact, tell us how it all began, you and Dirty Jobs.
Well, I got a call from a friend of mine in the industry, and he has a small window cleaning business, and he's got a web guy that does things right, because if you Google window cleaning in Hawaii, his company comes up. He's just got a couple employees. Mm-hmm. But they had contacted him, and he didn't have the operation to be able to support this. It was quite a large operation. Called me up, asked me if I was interested, and I said, yeah. So took 3 or 4 months. This is back in the spring of 2009, and it took 3 or 4 months of planning. And I would talk to one person, and then a storyline, and then a producer, and then a director, and it just went up the line. And finally, it was set for this one day in July.
So the crew comes to Hawaii.
And we're supposed to do training the day before. Mike doesn't show up. but the cameramen did, so we trained them. There was 2 cameramen that were going to be over the side with us. And so we trained them.
When you say over the side.
Yeah, over the side.
They're hanging.
Yeah, and if you ever watched it, well, it's one waterfront towers, and it was, yeah. I think it's 410 feet, 408 feet in the air. And it was pretty funny watching Mike go, and he got up to the top of this building, and he looked around, and he said, "This looked like a good idea on paper." But now that I'm out here, I'm having second thoughts.
Wow.
What was amazing is I love that show. I watch it all the time. And I like the show because of him. I mean, the content's great also. Mm-hmm. But what a character he is. He's the same person off camera that he is on camera. And he just made me feel so comfortable. And because of this show, and this is... this happened a little bit later, but because of this, I actually got to be on the Larry King show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But Larry
I've
King
never
was
seen
on,
that. Yeah.
He was on vacation, and okay. Howie Mandel was sitting in.
It's okay, man. Larry King or Howie, you know, I mean, well, big guys, right?
Well, here's a contrast here, and Howie, and I love Howie. He's great. He's funny, but he makes a living off of maybe not making people look so good. Mike makes a living off of making people feel good.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Mike did. And, of course, that's what Howie did, too. Plus, minus. Yeah, right. But Mike really made me feel comfortable. And I'm thinking that hopefully I helped him a little bit, too. When I took him over the side, I'm used to taking people over the side. I've done it many times for the first time. And I remember exactly how I felt. And
how do you feel? How does one feel when they go?
There's a great analogy for this. When I first did, and you asked a question at the beginning of the show, how do you feel 600 feet up in the air? Well, it's all relative, but I'll tell you how it feels for the first 2 weeks. You sweat. Hmm. You have anxiety, you have fear, and you're approaching the side, and you jump in your bosun chair, climb over the parapet.
That's what
wall.
It's called. That I call it a harness or whatever.
Well, you're in a harness also.
Okay.
But you jump into a bosun chair, and that's where you sit. It's just a personal one-man seat. You hang a bucket on it, and your squeegees are in there. Huh. And that's what you use. You're sitting in that bosun chair, and you haven't moved yet, and the thoughts are going wild. And the imagination is just out of control. All you can do is imagine yourself doing 140 miles an hour straight towards the pavement. And that feeling, now then what happens is you squeeze your device and you start to move, and that's the worst of it. All of a sudden you're on this little rope, it's 7/16 inch in diameter, and you start to move. And now all of a sudden it's just a whirlwind of fear and anxiety, and you're going, oh no, and you get down in front of
my palms are getting sweaty.
And that's exactly what I did. And let's say I had to wear a dark pair of shorts that day. But anyway, I got down in front of the first window, and this is back in 1984, and I stared at the window, and the imagination is still running wild with me. And then all of a sudden, I had to actually work. And that's when the fear subsided. And so the analogy that I use today is, if you're focused on your fears, they're not going away. Mm. As soon as you start to work, then they start to subside. And 2 weeks later, the same process every day, it starts to subside. And now, and I don't even really hang anymore. Every once in a while, I get out there and do it. But I can look down the same way I look across. It really doesn't matter. People say, oh, 40 stories or, you know, 45 stories, aren't you scared? And the reality of the situation is it doesn't matter whether it's 50 feet or 500 feet. The same thing happens if you hit the ground. Matter of fact, it's more painful from 5 stories because you live a little while. Mm. But 40 stories, it's over like that. Mm. But once you learn to trust your equipment, well, then it's just like getting in an elevator. Mm. You get in an elevator. Could something happen in an elevator? I suppose so. Those cables could all break. Some people get scared getting in elevators, but most people don't. But it's the same with your equipment, and you learn to trust. And it's the same thing when it comes to Jesus. It's a process. You have to learn to trust him. At first, it's just a word. It's just a name. And you have to learn to trust him. And so the anxiety is just whirling around inside your brain going, what if this? What if that? And C.S. Lewis said in the Screwtape Letters, all you got to do is get your patient to imagine the 10 worst things that could possibly happen to you. And then imagine they're all going to happen at once. And that's what you're doing when you're in the air. And that's what you're doing at first when you're trying to trust Jesus. But he comes in and says, at least he said to me, come on, what's your chances of 10 things happening at once? And slowly, as I just kept working, fear's gone. Mm-hmm. You're just working. Then it becomes, you know, the hardest thing is driving in traffic in the morning to get to work.
To get there.
It's more dangerous.
And you've trained others to do it many, many times. Mm-hmm. And you've seen the process take place. Mm-hmm. When we come back, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to talk more about Dirty Jobs and the host of the show and when you took him over and how he responded. The lesson about getting busy and then the fears or the anxieties subside. I can relate, not from hanging that far, but sometimes just feeling anxiety, and then it subsides when I get busy, when I engage, when I take that one step, and then the Lord leads me to the next step. My friend, could that be just a practical word of wisdom for all of us from Dino today? What's that next step for you? What's that next step for us? Let's take it. Okay, we'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So you get invited to be a part, a feature on a Discovery Channel program. It's called Dirty Job. Now you have to take the host over the edge of a very tall building, and he's with you. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. That's the story of Dino Pertzoff. He's the owner of Worldwide Window Cleaning Company. Find out more about Dino, worldwidewindows.net. I mean, he's been very gracious to us. Our guests are that way by the grace of the Lord, and being so transparent, so open. I can just sense that there's hope being lifted up in your heart, and it's more than an imaginary thing. No, it's something that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is doing because of His love for you and the love of Christ for you, my dear friend. Dino, take us back. Take us now. You go over the side with his name is Mike. Right?
Mike
so,
Rowe.
So what happens?
Okay, well, we're setting up, and he's starting to sweat, and I kind of smile a little bit because I remembered it so vividly 20, 30 years before that. And but he was much calmer than I was, and much calmer than most that I've taken over the side. So I didn't really at the time even notice it. Now, when I watched the show, I saw the fear in his eyes, and the real fear, because sometimes it's hard to, he's doing this and it's all part of the show. But when I watched the show and I looked in his eyes, I saw the real fear. And fear is a strange animal. It's whether it's fear of dying or fear of speaking in public or fear of financial destruction or fear of anything. You look in the eyes and you can see it. And he had it. And he kept a sense of humor through the whole time.
Professional.
Yeah. So, and I guess out of 200 and at the time in 2009, there's 247 episodes. It was the only one that he never finished. He's been on the top of the Brooklyn Bridge. He's been in South Africa, swimming with sharks and doing whatever he does. He had never not completed a job. Now, he did a great job with us. He made it about a quarter of the way down the building, and it was 4 o'clock. In the afternoon, and we ate lunch on somebody's lanai, and he looked over the side and he said, "So that's how much we have left to do?" He says, "I'm done. It's a wrap." And so we all rappelled to the ground, but it was amazing watching him. He was incredibly skilled for a first time. Never squeegeed a piece of glass in his life. I imagine that's the case. Never hung like that in a bosun chair. And we did, if anybody knows One Waterfront Towers, they have these incredible overhangs where you drop down over the side of the building and then all of a sudden you're sitting in the middle of space and the windows are 20, 25 feet in front of you. And you have to use this extension pole and reach in with a block and tackle and grab this little eye bolt that's 20, 25 feet away. You have to grab that and pull yourself underneath. And when this whole thing happened, they said, "We want something spectacular. We want to be high, and we want something spectacular." And I said, "I know just the building. Matter of fact, not only do I know just the building, but I know the exact drop I want to put Mike on." And my team around me is just going, "Dino, no, don't put him there. You need to be trained for at least 12 months before anybody goes on that particular drop. It's one of the hardest drops in the state. It's a double overhang, and for those of you in the industry, you'll know what I'm talking about, but it's hardcore." And my team of people around me are just saying, he's going to walk. He's not going to do it. And I said, "Yes, he will. I've watched his show. He's game." And sure enough, he did it.
He did it.
He did it. And it was incredible watching him do it. And again, he just made me feel so comfortable. Being on national TV like that, it was just like I was just talking to a friend.
Creme de la creme. And now, How well did the program do?
Well, it turns out 247 episodes, it was the highest rated Dirty Job show in, I think it was 9 seasons. I can't remember off the top of my head. There's been 3 seasons since that, I believe. And I'm not sure if it's still the highest rated one. But it became so popular, I actually got a chance to pray on the show. And it's a funny story because I got there and we're on this gantry crane on the top of this building, 408 feet. And I said, "Mike, do you want to pray before you go over the side?" And he said, "Yeah." So I sat down, I got to one knee and I prayed with him and I asked for safety. And when the show was aired, before they have this little trailer, and it's a little advertisement for the show, and they show that prayer. And I go through the whole prayer, and at the end I say, in Jesus' name, we pray, amen. And they cut out in Jesus' name. And I'm going, oh my goodness, this is 2 weeks before the show. And I don't know what happened in what boardroom this took place, but when the show aired, they put in Jesus' name back. Mm. I don't know how that happened, but one of the first things that happened, the first time this show aired, I started getting emails from around the world. And I must have gotten at least a dozen emails from pastors around the country saying, right on. Mm-hmm. You know, they were talking about the prayer and mm-hmm. Christians around the world. And I probably got 200 calls from people who wanted to come work for me. Uh-huh. But just, it was so inspiring to see the body of Christ come together and just, and it was just a really short prayer. It really mm-hmm. was. Mm-hmm. It was, I wasn't even thinking about it at the time. And, but he was game. It's funny how it kind of comes back to that, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes.
Yeah.
Right? When you're getting ready to go over 408 feet for the first time, sure, prayer's fine. So that was fun.
Someone today could sure, they're taking a drop and they're feeling anxiety. A word of encouragement as a parting shot to them. What would you say?
One step after another. And things that have no possibility of working out do work out. And I'm a living testimony to that. It's so many different times in my life. If I had really looked at it analytically, I wouldn't be here. But it does work out. And the love of Christ is so comforting. And now, and I'm getting better at it, the more I practice and I just learn to trust Him. So now when I enter into this situation, I go, oh no, this is going to be a doozy. Take a deep breath. It's going to be all right. And this will pass.
You know, you have a way. It's a very comforting way. I can see how Mike, you said he made you feel comfortable. You must have made him feel comfortable too. And there's a way that you carry yourself and the way that you come across that allows someone, even in a time of stress, distress, a comforting way, a way of strength and hope. And I can see that it's the grace of God on you. My friend, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today on this program. And as you're listening, I want to just remember to share this opportunity with you. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, we're here. We have a distinct purpose. Our hearts are to reach people with the love of Christ. And we need partners to stand with us, to take this program. We're now going through our Slice broadcasts. Our vignettes are being heard right now. It's in 10 states and growing every day. And through our media ministry, our internet, we're being heard not only across the country, but around the world. And we have a special program called the Good Life Partnership. And you become part of the Good Life Partnership Club. There's certain access, special access that we provide in that program. Go ahead and check it out. It's at thegoodlifehawaii.com. These are ways that you can stay with us and access some of the resources that we have as becoming part of the Good Life Hawaii Partnership Club. Again, thegoodlifehawaii.com. You know, you mentioned something earlier, you know, about your favorite food being lobster. Food has a way of connecting people. And you talked about different kinds of food that you've had here. One food that you mentioned just in our off-the-cuff discussions in our break time, you said you tried balut. Okay? Here's a guy from New England, East Coast man, blonde hair. He ate balut. What was that experience like?
You know, once I got back past affected, it was actually kind of a darkish black color, this egg, mm-hmm. and the crunchiness of that little chicken inside.
And by the way, it's a Filipino delicacy, right? So the Filipino friends that are listening, they're nodding their head. They know.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, you know what? I think they have more respect for you. They like you even more because you ate balut.
Yeah. Well, it was actually tasted good. You just got to kind of get past those that fact that you're eating little fetus.
Yeah. Because I've seen it, and I've also seen people eat it. And I know from a missionary standpoint that when we travel, people want you to try their foods. I mean, it's like somebody saying cuttlefish was gross, you know, when I opened it up in at some moment when I was away on the mainland. And it kind of hurt, you know. But that's the kind of heart you have, man. And I love that about you. And that's why we can receive what you have shared today about your life and your the testimony of Christ.
Well, it was quite tasty compared to the dinaguan.
Well, hey, but you tried it, right?
I did try it. But I've never liked liver anyway. So the dinaguan was tough. The balut tasted good.
Hey, heart to heart. That's what we do here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And, you know, in many ways, there's no other way to do it. I mean, just to be authentic and just to share the things that God has done. Dino, thank you. Thank you, man. This has been a real special broadcast, and you have been great.
No, thank you, Danny. It's been an honor.
I hope you've been encouraged today by the story of my friend Dino Pertzoff. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click the Get to Know Jesus link. And again, to be a partner with us, Good Life Partnership Club, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click partnership. Matthew 17:20 says, he replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Dino Pertzoff. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.